Well, our gospel lesson this morning starts with forgiveness. And so we'll start with a story about forgiveness. There was once a woman who bought a parrot for a pet. And all the parrot did was treat her badly. It insulted her, and every time she tried to pick it up, it would peck at her. And one day she got fed up with the parrot, and as it was insulting her, she did indeed pick it up, and it continued with its insults. "You're ugly, I can't stand you," and only a voice and sound a parrot can make. And as it pecked at her arm, she carried it, and she opened the freezer door, and she threw it in and closed the door. And from inside, the parrot was still going on insulting her for about 5 seconds, and then suddenly it was very quiet. The woman thought, "Oh dear, I've killed it." And she opened the door and she took the parrot out. And the parrot just looked at her and then said, "I'm so very sorry. I apologize for all my bad behavior and promise you that there will be no more of that. From now on, I will be a respectful, obedient parrot." "Well, okay," said the lady. "Apology accepted." The parrot said, "Thank you," and finished with, "Can I ask you something?" The woman said, "Yes, what is it?" And the parrot looked at the freezer and then back at the woman and asked, "What did the chicken do?" Forgiveness. What compels us to seek forgiveness, and how are we to grant it? These two questions are really at the heart of the gospel lesson today. They start things off for us. And the responses that we find may appear confusing or perhaps even dissatisfying. However, it all leads to a larger truth about our relationship with God. And if you were reading along in the Pew Bible, you will have noted that there were three subheadings inserted into our reading this morning. And they are sin for the first five four verses, then faith, and then finally a servant's duty. Now, just as chapter and verse weren't inserted into the Bible until a much later date, those subheadings were inserted even later. They are not in the original Greek manuscripts. They were added by translators to help us make sense of what's going on in a particular piece of scripture, subheadings for chapters. If you read the New Revised Standard Version and you look at Luke 17, verses 1 to 10, the subheading that they put in is some sayings of Jesus. Not sin, faith, and a servant's duty, some sayings of Jesus. Both of these subheadings imply that what we find in our gospel lesson this morning perhaps don't go together. Three separate topics, just some sayings of Jesus. As if Luke had this source material and he just needed to get it in the gospel somehow, and so he just plopped it in what we call Luke 17. Well, now that's a good spot. However, these 10 verses, they really do go together. And one needs to be understood before we can move on to the next one, because they inform each other. The lectionary for this morning would actually have had us start at verse 5 and skip the whole part about forgiveness. But in order to understand what Jesus is saying about faith, you need to understand the problem the disciples had with forgiveness. Because you can't understand that unless you know why the disciples needed more faith. While the statements about the servant may seem out of place and perhaps especially cruel, when, as I mentioned earlier, the word for servant can also be translated as slave. So distressing as that might be, these words of Jesus teach us something about our relationship with God, which can't be fully appreciated unless we work through the entire passage. So let's work our way through these passages. Let's see if we can discover a little something about what Jesus is telling us this morning. And we begin with words from Jesus about sin. And the bottom line of this passage and this section this morning is that sin happens. We are going to sin, and Jesus knows it. Now, we remember that Jesus came to forgive our sins. And this passage is not permission from Jesus to go and sin willingly. Rather, it is an acknowledgement that we are human and that we will sin. The rebuke comes when Jesus reminds us that we should not encourage one another to sin. So watch what you do. Sin is an important force in the world. God wants us to live lives free of sin, but knows that this is not always possible. So Jesus cautions us not to tempt one another into sinful habits and practices. And then comes the part about forgiveness, which many people have problems with. We're not good, I think, as a society in forgiving. And even if we say we forgive, we still tend to hold on to some resentment. I forgive, but I don't forget. And we're told that if someone sins against us and asks for forgiveness, we should forgive them. And if this happens 7 times, we are still to forgive them 7 times, which is to say, we are always to forgive. And if it gets to the 8th time, you still have to forgive them. It's not that they're out of chances. And so this message is that we are to forgive. Not once, not 7, but all the time. And that's hard. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. But that's a hard thing to put into practice. And still, this is what Jesus is asking us to do, to forgive just as we have been forgiven. Well, the disciples felt a little like how you feel about this. They were exasperated. Seriously, Jesus? I have to forgive the person who keeps on sinning against me. The person who continually steals from me, hurts me, calls me names, slanders me. I have to forgive them? No way! It's going to take a lot for me to forgive on that type of a level. Jesus, in order for me to be able to forgive, I'm going to need a whole lot more faith. To which Jesus makes an archaic response about having faith the size of a mustard seed, which you can't see because it's so small. I don't have one, but it's all that's required. And then if you have faith of a mustard seed, you could command a mulberry tree to uproot itself and be planted in the sea. Come again? What? I don't think there's anyone here in this room who can do that. I'd like to think that I'm fairly faithful. I trust in God's promises. I hope my faith is at least the size of a mustard seed. But a tree has never uprooted itself for me. In fact, most trees, shrubs, flowers that I touch tend to wither and die. So is Jesus saying that all of us have no faith? Because I don't think trees uproot for you either. The comment Jesus makes about faith is associated directly with the disciples' lack of ability to forgive. Moving and replanting the bush is a metaphor to remind them that they already have sufficient faith for the task. They just aren't willing to see the task through. They are either lazy, or in this case, disinclined to forgive. Go back a step further and remember the warning Jesus gave about causing people to stumble into sin. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. We would be better to tie a millstone around our necks than to cause someone to stumble and sin. We have faith. What we lack is the ability to see past ourselves and our own hurts and desires. So what do we do then about the servant or the slave, as some translations render this passage. The servant who comes in after a dutiful day of work, do we praise them and ask them to sit down at the table? We probably should, but that's not what the message Jesus is trying to convey is. No, Jesus says we don't invite them to eat with us, instead we ask them to make us our dinner. No, to be sure, this passage pulls in strong understandings of life in the Mediterranean during the time of Jesus, a world vastly different from our own, with values and practices that we would find on some levels to be abhorrent. And it makes any passage about slaves and servitude difficult to deal with and difficult to put into context for us. But notice the turn Jesus makes after asking if the servant deserves thanks for obeying the orders. Jesus then says, "It is the same with you." Jesus is putting the disciples on the same footing as the servant. And we may find the image leading up to this to be distasteful and hard to deal with. And so when we get to that crucial turn at the end, we miss it. We stumble because we've been turned off by something that doesn't make sense to us, that we don't like. And we shouldn't like passages about slavery and servitude. We've moved on from that as a society, at least in most parts of the world. What Jesus is reminding us through this entire passage is that we serve God. We are in God's debt, not the other way around. We don't get to say, "Come on, God, I really need this to happen." God knows what we need. God is not at our beck and call. God does not respond when we throw tantrums like children. N.T. Wright comments on this passage. He writes, "It's not great faith that is required. It is faith in a great God." Jesus is teaching the disciples that they need to trust in God's grace and mercy, that God can never be in our debt. All that we have done, all that we will do, is in genuine service done in gratitude for what God has already done for us. And through this, we understand Christian faith as hopeful, trusting, strong in weakness, and active. Most importantly, we are to trust God, to have faith in God, and fewer excuses. Amen.